Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to Patriot Nation Radio Live, 347-637-3942.
There was supposed to be some music there. Not exactly sure what happened, but we didn't get it. And I'm not really sure why anyway. James Bostic here, Conservatives Perspective. Welcome. Never mind. Here's the music. So I knew there was music, and by God, we're going to have it. Blog Talk, I'm going to tell you straight up, it is too close to Christmas for you to be start this kind of, you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout either. I'm telling you why. Here's why. Santa Claus comes to town. The moon glows. Hey, the moon glows, and the aptly titled Santa Claus. Hey, Santa Claus. James Bostic here with you. Conservative Perspective. You know, it always throws me off just a teeny tiny bit, and I don't know why it does, because it happens so damned often that it shouldn't bother me at all. However, that being said, it's too close to Christmas for me to be acting up either. If it goes for Blog Talk, it's got to go for me too. Once again, James Bostic, a Conservative Perspective here on Patriot Nation Radio at blogtalkradio.com. Nice to be with you. We do it live, invariably, twice a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We also have a recorded incarnation of the program that rolls out Sunday afternoons, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which, you know, is a great slot for a show like My The Sunday, because that's really what I do. I'm not caller driven. Tonight I am going to be. I've invited callers to, you know, if anybody's listening, call in, tell us about their best Christmas, their worst Christmas, favorite toys, Christmas memories. And I'm going to tell you where all this started. Oh, wait a minute. No, we were talking about my Sunday slot. That's the perfect time. You Sunday on any of the new shows, you've got your your heavier heads doing their news and commentary thing, and I like being in that area, so it's a terrific slot for me. Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mojo 5.0 Radio, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you should be, because it is the very best in libertarian and conservative talk radio. Again, Christmas has passed tonight. Not going to get too political. We are going to do some political things because, you know, it's happening out there. But we're going to stay mostly a Christmas show, Christmas memories. I have an excerpt. Well, actually, it's the largest part of the show. It's about 21 minutes of a Truth or Consequences show that was recorded. This was radio back when Ralph Edwards was the host instead of. Oh, gosh, can't even remember the guy's name now. Bob. Old Bob. And Bob Barker. And, well, you know what? Listen, it is a huge, massive brain, and there's a lot of room up here and a lot of information, and sometimes stuff just gets misplaced, and that's all I got to say. Bob Barker. But it was a radio version, which was hosted by Ralph Edwards, and it's magnificent. I play it every year, and I can tell you right now, it will bring a tear to a glass eye. It is just that good. It's maybe, in my opinion, in terms of holiday shows, Christmas shows, shows that stir the sentiment, it must be one of the very best ever made. We'll talk about that in a little bit. In the White House season's greetings, the president wished us unvaccinated types agonizing illness and slow lingering death for the holidays. J.P. Sears from the Awaken with J.P. Podcast, he's a terrific guy, very, very funny. We've played his stuff before, is going to be mimicking Jen Psaki explaining, because they had to do some backtracking on what was said. So here's J.P. Sears as Jen Psaki explaining what the president meant when he said he wished that a lot of us would die.
For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated. For themselves, their families, and the hospital, they'll soon overwhelm.
Hi, it's White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Now, yesterday, the White House released a very well-written holiday statement. But unfortunately, we've received huge backlash about what we said, with some people accusing us of not having any tact, being tone-deaf, fear-mongering, and being objectively evil. It's all just a big misunderstanding, so let me clarify any confusion. Our statement reads, "We are intent on not letting Omicron disrupt work in school for the vaccinated. You've done the right thing, and we will get through this." Now for the controversial part. For the unvaccinated, you're looking at a winter of severe illness and death for yourselves, your families, and the hospitals that you might soon overrun. Did Stalin write this? I think this is pretty good. Why doesn't everybody love this? Unfortunately, disobedient folks completely misinterpreted our statement, thinking we're wishing illness and death on the people. No, we're not doing that at all. We're wishing illness and death only on the unvaccinated. And they're not really people. They're inhumane monsters. So I think our mission is clear. If you're not obedient, then we want you dead for Christmas. Now, wanting a large segment of the population to die is part of how President Brandon is creating unity. He's so intent on unity that, as you can see, he created two different holiday messages, one for each class of citizen that he's created since taking office. Plus, we got to get rid of the control group, don't we? These disobedient people are clearly holding our nation back from being unified under one hammer and sickle like we deserve. It's like they're acting out of love instead of acting out of fear. And love is nothing but dangerous misinformation. The disobedient are putting you and your family at risk by being happy and healthy and not getting sick and dying nearly as much as our business plan calls for. And they're living by the Constitution. The Constitution? That's the last thing we at the White House are going to allow to infiltrate our country. Protecting God-given inalienable rights? That puts everything in jeopardy that we and our global partners at Big Tech, the drug companies, and the World Economic Forum have worked so hard to put into place. It's actually been a pretty uphill battle here at the White House to implement the plan. People aren't nearly as scared of the Omicron as we want them to be, so they're not easily controllable. Inflation isn't nearly as high as we want it to be, and President Brennan's Build Back Better plan just got killed. Like, now how are we going to destroy our democracy? So here's what you can do to help our country that we all hate so much. Live in fear. Stop doing your own critical thinking, and stop trusting your heart and God. Those things will always mislead you, but we will lead you properly. Please trust us that you should be as scared as we want you to be, because or else we'll want you to die too. And with a little luck, you'll be stricken with enough fear that we'll give you our permission to celebrate the holidays. From all of us here at the White House, we're wishing you a great holiday season. And for the unvaccinated, we're wishing you a lot of illness and death this holiday season.
Happy holidays. Happy holidays. Yeah, you know what? And you're absolutely right, Gary. When the music screwed up, Gary Benford, always, except during the NFL draft, with me on just about every program. He's in the Facebook inbox. We're talking back and forth as the thing goes on, and he is always there. Tonight was no exception. So when we had our Christmas boo-boo from – when we got our Christmas present from Blog Talk, he was here offering to sing or dance to keep me from floundering. And I said, thank you very much. Thank you, Sammy Davis Jr. And he got offended because he wanted to be James Brown. I was thinking Rat Pack, but you know what? There he goes, the hardest working man in show business. James could have been a Rat Packer. Absolutely, Gary, you're right. Okay, James Brown it is, brother. Or Jackie Wilson. You know, all those guys had class and stuff. Christmas is past. Tomorrow night, Christmas Eve, last Saturday, a friend of mine and my brother Bernie's a guy named Wayne Bennett, who has the Wayne Bennett podcast. And, you know, I would encourage you to check it out if it's anybody around in West Virginia. That's what Wayne does. He talks, it's kind of geographically specific to the southeastern part of the state of West Virginia and our culture and memories and things and people and places and events. And he did a Christmas show, and he wanted my brother Bernie and myself to be on this show. And honestly, I don't know what in the world he was thinking, because he knows our family, and he knows what kind of childhood we had. But anyway, he didn't let that stop him. But it was fun. It was really cool. And it was about a 45-minute gig, and my brother and I had talked a little bit about it in the week running up to the show. But once we got on there and the memories started flowing a little bit, it turned out to be pretty cool. You know, I would say something that would trigger something in Bernie. He would say something that would make me remember something. And it was pretty good. It was pretty good. So callers, if you're out there, if anybody is out there tonight and being Christmas, you may not be. Christmas memories. Let's talk about them. I know ordinarily I'm not a caller driven program. But tonight's going to be a little bit different. On the political side, while we're waiting for somebody to call in, and we'll get on with that. On the political side, the Build Back Better, or Build Back Bolshevik, Build Back Bolshevik, anyway, just fiddle around with that one, died. And it died because of Joe Manchin, Democrat senator from my home state of West Virginia. I want to talk a little bit about that. The left lost their mind. Sunday, he goes on Fox News, which everybody thinks is some kind of tell, and it really isn't because, you know, the old man stepped down a few years ago, and his two sons, Seamus and Angus, they're lefties, and they've been drifting left for a while anyway. He goes on Fox News Sunday. I think he's talking with Brett Baer. And he says, you know, it's a hard no. I can't do this. It's a problem for the American people. You know, the economic distress that the country's in right now, you know, this is just, it's not a good idea anyway, and it's never going to be a good idea under the circumstances that we're operating on now. And he, no, I'm not going to do it. And they lost their minds. Everybody's hating on Joe. Bette Midler, we're going to talk about Bette here in a minute too. And then we're going to get off this and we're going to get into it. But let's talk about Joe Manchin for a minute. He's being hailed as a hero, and in many respects he is, because, you know, he stopped this terror. This would have been a bad, bad thing. And I don't know if he stopped it permanently, but it's stopped for now. And this was going to be Joe Biden's legacy. And it's dead on arrival, just like Joe, almost. I guess maybe in terms of brainwave activity, he's just about a flatliner. But let's not forget, Joe Manchin is a politician, and Joe Manchin comes from a family of politicians, Democrat politicians. I think it was his uncle, A. James Manchin. And A. James Manchin was, I'm trying to think of somebody to compare him to. He was kind of a boss hog type, and that's not really an insult. That's a pretty accurate description. He was very, very flamboyant. He loved West Virginia. He loved the state. He was forever promoting West Virginia everywhere he went. He too was a consummate old school politician. And by that, I mean, you know, he had a political machine and it operated well, and the people liked him. And Joe's no different. Joe is, you know, he learned a lot of things from A. James. He's, you know, and he was one of these classy, he was like the cigar smoking, heavy set, the three piece suit wearing, big broad brimmed hat kind of guy. All right. That kind of politician, one of the old school fat cats. And Joe came up, he had a successful run as governor for a couple of terms. Jay Rockefeller steps down in the United States Senate. Joe accedes to his position. He's been in Washington for a while. He likes it. Washington's been pretty good to him. And what he did, I think, was he took, in this instance, a principled stand. And in many ways, I think that it was a remarkably calculated, principled stand. Now, here's what I'm talking about. Again, we must bear in mind that just like everybody else in Washington, D.C., Joe Manchin is a politician. Republican, Democrat, left, right, center, doesn't matter. If they're in elected office in Washington, D.C., they are politicians. They have to be. That's how you get there, politics. And politics can be dirty and stinky and icky and slippery and yucky and all that, but that's it. That's how you get there. I call what he did a calculated principled stand, a calculatingly principled stand. And here's what I'm talking about. Yes, he's absolutely right. And if it were simply principle alone, it's still the move. It's still, you know, he's not looking, in this case, he's still looking to see to the needs of his constituency rather than to the needs of his own personal agenda and his own, you know, his own crew. And not just West Virginians, although West Virginians first and foremost, and that's his job to look for West Virginians' interests above anyone else's. But in this case, it's the country's interests, because this thing is terrible. It's awful. It's devastating. But now, because of what he's done, we don't have to worry about it. And the left, like I said, they're tearing him apart. They're calling him this. They're calling him that. The White House calls him a liar. They said he's going to do all this stuff. And he went back on his word, and shame on him. And Bette Midler says what she says. And we'll get to that ignoramus in a little bit, maybe. And he's been invited to change parties. It's been rumored that he may renounce his Democrat affiliation and go independent, caucusing with whom he sees fit. I don't think that's what's going to happen. What's going to happen is that Joe Manchin is going to stay the course. He is going to stay a member of the Democrat Party. He's going to stay the course, and what he is going to be is a beacon. He's going to be a rallying point for center, center-left Democrats and independents. He's taking a lot of heat. And, you know, the flak and the anti-aircraft fire is always the heaviest when you are directly over the target. And what he has, he's torpedoed this thing. It's sunk. It's not going anywhere because they don't have the votes. That's how tight the House and the Senate are. Even with Kamala, he had to have every single solitary Democrat on board. And he doesn't have it because Joe's not going to do it. Now, there were others, I would think. Joe's out in front, and he's in the vanguard position, but I would imagine there were other Democrats who, you know, just aren't that far gone and aren't of that far left extremist bent that they wouldn't have voted for it either. They were probably just being quiet and running in the background. But it's going to be Joe because he took that first step. Everybody's been watching him for weeks now, beginning with his opposition to what they wanted to do with killing the filibuster. The center and center left, the center and center independents and center left types, everything but the extreme, which is in a minority. I mean, as far as the voting, I think the voting blocks in the Democrat Party are pretty center, center left, and that's it. The extremists are in the leadership positions, and, you know, this could be a sea change. A lot of Democrats are retiring in the House and the Senate. They're not seeking reelection. And that's because they see this tidal wave, this wrecking ball that's coming in 2022. If the administration keeps on doing what it's doing, I have no reason to believe that it would not. They've doubled down on everything they've said or implemented in terms of policy. But these guys are going to glom onto Joe, and you know it could conceivably be Manchin 2024. As a Democrat candidate. Don't rule him out. We've still got 3 years to go, and I would imagine that his war chest is getting fat. I'm sure that he's probably gotten a lot of campaign donations based on his positions in the last few months, and I think that's something he's probably thinking about in the back of his mind. But I don't think he's going to change parties, and I don't think he's going to renounce his Democrat leadership. I think what's going to happen is he's going to become one of the leading moderate lights in the Democrat Party, and more people are going to pay attention to him. He's a smart guy. He's, conducting himself fairly well with the media in terms of how he's being perceived and how he deals with them. So, yeah, kind of watch out for that. Bette Midler. I said we were going to get to her, and it looks like we will. American Thinker had a great article day before yesterday, by Rajan Lad from American Thinker. He's been a new contributor there over the past couple of months. Pretty sharp cap. Here's what Bette Midler had to say when the news broke from Fox News that Manchin wasn't going to go with the Build Back BS. What Joe Manchin, #JoeManchin, who represents a population smaller than Brooklyn, has done to the rest of America, who wants to move forward and not backward like his state, is horrible. He sold us out. He wants us all to be just like his state, West Virginia, poor, illiterate, and strung out. Well, you guys, you know how this stuff goes. A few hours after getting her biscuit buttered over this thing, she tweeted an apology, said, "I apologize to the good people of West Virginia for my last outburst. I'm just seeing red. Hashtag Joe Manchin and his whole family are a criminal enterprise. Is he really the best West Virginia has to offer its own citizens? Surely there's someone out there who has the state's interests at heart, not his own. Well, as we all know by now, Twitter is rightly regarded as a cesspool where the worst among lowlives, cloaked in anonymity, attempt to outdo each other in the arena of outrageousness. It's been cited also as a major cause of polarization. Most of the users follow individuals with whom they agree because they want their biases to be confirmed, and they form virtual gangs that become echo chambers where any contrarian view, however valid it might be, is dismissed because it doesn't fit the group thing. Also, public relations firms can be hired to push perceptions by creating top trends. Quite often, regular users join these top trends in hope of retweets and more followers. Twitter, therefore, can't really be regarded as a barometer for public opinion, but it is a solid mirror of groupthink and projection. Twitter also has an overwhelmingly left-wing bias, and it regularly suspends right-leaning individuals. Twitter suppressed important factual news items about Hunter Biden's shady business dealings all throughout the 2020 presidential campaign. Laptop from hell? Yeah. It does have a few advantages, though. One of the primary advantages is it often reveals the person behind the persona. And when an individual addresses a public gathering, he's aware of the presence of a crowd and therefore is, you know, careful about what he says. When an individual appears on TV or radio or web broadcast, the act of sitting in front of a microphone or microphone and a camera clues him into the fact that the utterances are being carried across the world. And that means broadcasters may not always say what's on their mind. Broadcasters can disguise their thoughts and indulge in euphemisms. In some cases, they just say what they think the people want to hear. Some folks, like Hillary Clinton, even alter their accent, their manner, and content of speaking based upon their audience. But on Twitter, things are different. The individual may be sitting at home all alone, feeling lonely, angry, upset, tired, bored. And in that kind of a situation, all this person has to do is pick up his smartphone and just vent out without realizing the consequence because there's no visible audience, no camera or microphone. What Bette Midler called us, because I'm from West Virginia, poor, illiterate, and strung out isn't an accidental outburst. It's exactly what she thinks of regular people that don't subscribe to her worldview. It's probably something that she would say among like-minded friends, and they would all have a good laugh at the expense of those whom she considers the country bumpkins. But now all that's replaced by Twitter, where the only thing she has to do is type and send the tweet. It's similar to what Hillary Clinton said at an LGBT campaign event fundraiser. Since she thought that it was an intimate gathering of supporters, she said what was really on her mind, and that was that Trump supporters are racist and sexist and homophobic and xenophobic and Islamophobic and whatever kind of phobia you want to think of, and hence we are a basket of deplorables. When President Trump was in office, the likes of Midler and her ilk were said to be suffering from TDS, Trump Derangement Syndrome. The fact remains that Midler and others don't hate Trump for what he is. It's more about the working class people that he represented. While they claim to care for the regular man, their hearts have nothing but disdain for the working class. It's arrogant, entitled, and bigoted minds like these that came up with the terms flyover country to describe the territory between the East and West Coasts where regular folks reside. Bette Midler and her fellow celebrity Democrats view people like us living in middle America as impediments to their far-left agenda. They voted for Joe Manchin, who has prevented the Democratic agenda from being pushed forward. They voted for Trump, who prevented the Democrats' beloved Hillary from becoming president. So it's for this reason that Democrats like Bette Midler support this influx of illegal aliens. They think these illegal aliens will become the new voter base for the Democrats and that they'll drown the impact of the Trump voters. And I also know that these poor, unskilled, and potentially criminal aliens will never be resettled in their gated neighborhoods, so their lives will never be impacted. These aliens are never going to steal Bette Midler's job or commit crimes in her neighborhood. It's flyover country, you and I, that will suffer, and that's a cause of celebration for Bette Midler. Projects successfully been implemented in New York and California. By the way, New York and California, in terms of literacy, behind West Virginia. West Virginia has an 87% literacy rate, California 47%, and New York, or New York City 47%, and California 77%. Now, it's doubtful that Bette Midler even read this bill or understood the consequences it might have. It's a Democrat bill. It's called Build Back Better. That's enough. That's all Bette Midler needs to lend it her fanatical support. She also knows she's wealthy and powerful enough to be shielded from any of the deleterious effects when it would come to implementing this bill. So what Bette Midler and George Clooney and Hillary Clinton and other Democrats are indulging in is the worst kind of stereotyping that emanates from deeply held prejudices and ignorance. And it's most ironic that the likes of Bette Midler would have the gall to brand people as poor, as illiterate, as strung out, racist, sexist, and homophobic. She seems to have forgotten that the reason that she is rich and famous is that regular people, such as West Virginians and Kentuckians and Tennesseans and North Carolinians, South Carolinians, Alabamians, Georgians, Mississippians, bought her music and they watched her movies. But now that her wealth has been earned and she's in the twilight phase of her career, she feels she no longer cares for those who enabled her to journey to prosperity. So in summation, the likes of Bette Midler and those people who see things and behave the way that she does are vile, ungrateful, bigoted ignoramuses. And this is one of the rare occasions where we have to thank Twitter for ripping the mask off her face. And I don't think that it is that they no longer care about these people when they come to the twilight of the career. I think they say these things because they know that they're in the twilight of their career and they're desperate for validation. They're desperate for relevancy. Bette Midler made an album lately. Has she been in a movie lately? What, did she do anything? Exactly. Well, we're down at the bottom of the hour. Like I said, this is a Christmas show, and I think that's all the politics we're going to get into this evening. Brief musical interlude, and we will be back with more of what's happening here on ACP, our Christmas rhubarb, back after this.
Frosty Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a corn cob pipe and a button nose and two eyes made out of coal. Frosty the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the children know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that old sugar hat they found. But when they placed it on his head, he began to dance around.
Frosty the Snowman was alive as he could be, and the children say he could laugh and play just the same as you and me.
Frosty the Snowman knew the sun was a hot that day. Let's settle as a runner, we'll have some fun now before I melt away.
Down to the village with a broomstick in his hand, running here, run there, all around the square, saying, catch me if you can. He led them down the streets of town, right to that traffic cop.
And it only paused in a moment when he heard him a holler sound.
Frosty the Snowman had to hurry on his way,
but he waved goodbye saying, don't you cry, I'll be back again someday. I thump a thump a thump a thump a thump,
look at Frosty go.
Thump a thump a thump a thump a thump a thump a thump,
over the hills of snow.
Christmas, Christmas, Christmas.
Well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby, and the snow is falling on the ground.
Christmas, Christmas.
Well, it's Christmas time, pretty baby, and the snow is falling down. No sleigh with reindeer, no sack on my back. You gonna see me coming in a big black Cadillac. Put the stockings, turn off the light. Santa Claus is coming down your chimney tonight.
Christmas. Merry Christmas very much. James Boss, a conservative perspective here on the eve of Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve Eve. What are we doing? Conservative perspective. Patriot Nation Radio here at Blog Talk Radio. We do it twice a week live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm a little tired. Oh, and we do the Sunday show too. We have a recorded program that goes out on the Mojo 50 Radio Network, mojo50.com. If you aren't listening, you should be. And I'm going to tell you what, now, you know, I'm doing okay now, but last week I was in rough shape. Hey, let me tell you, it's been wild. Now, the group of kids that I work with, as most of you guys know, I'm in the school business. That's my daytime gig. I work at the high school that I graduated from, and I work in special ed department. So I kind of got like this whole welcome back Cotter thing going for me. My brother does the same thing. My brother Bernie graduated from Woodrow Wilson High School, which was the big school in Beckley, West Virginia, and he graduated in 1974. And that summer, we moved out of town, out of Beckley, into a little rural community called Daniels, West Virginia, about 10 minutes outside of town. And rather than being a flying eagle, I became a Shady Tiger, proud graduate from Shady Spring High School, class of 1980, and then a 2000-something. I'll be damned if I can remember when it was. Anyway, sometime back in the 2000s, I graduated from Bluefield State College. I am a proud graduate of an historically black college or university, just like my mom. But we're white. I don't know how it works. But anyway, we did. So as opposed to the disaffected emo teens and all their teenage angst and whatever the hell they got going on, the guys that I work with, it's like an elementary school anticipation and joy and and anxiousness it's been a long week anyway, when it comes to Christmas. And the last 2 weeks there before Christmas break, man, it was tough. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, I watched them, and they're just trying to keep it together. I mean, they are ready for Christmas. Think back to when you were 9 or 10 years old or 11 years old. You were ready for Christmas the day after Thanksgiving. And it drug and it ground and you had to try and that, and you're trying so hard to be good and, you got all this pressure on you. And you're trying to just get through it, man. You just want to get to Christmas Day. And that's what they did, and that's where they were at. And I can understand that. But this year, I'm not sure why. Excuse me. Let me just keep yawning. I really saw it. I mean, I saw it a lot more clearly, and I had a greater understanding of it. And I've been doing this for a while, people. I've been in school business working with these guys for, 16, 17 years. 23 years. It's been a while. I've been doing it for a while. But this year I was really cognizant of it. Man, they worked hard. Bless their hearts. If I were Santa Claus, I would give these guys, you had a couple of moments here and there in that last month in the run-up, but overall, you've done okay. And here, get that pony and get out of my hair. Let's go. Don't beat it. Next. And so yesterday, or the day, the not yesterday, but rather Tuesday, was our last full day of school. And the teacher that works in that room with me, she was just as ready to get out of there, I think, as the kids. I think we all really were. So it was a lot of Christmas specials on DVD, and they really enjoyed that. Santa Claus is Coming to Town, Rudolph, Frosty, Charlie Brown, The Little Drummer Boy, and he's on and on and on and on. And that's what we did. And that kind of pacified them. We ate a lot of junk food. We sugared the living daylights out of them, put them on that bus and sent them back home to mom and dad, who so richly deserved them. And that's where they belong. And I hope they have a great Christmas as well. But yesterday, there was a couple of funny moments. Little girl that sits beside me, they go to lunch and we were getting out early, which happens in a lot of school systems that last day before Christmas break. And what they do in Raleigh County is called a 3-hour early out, and self-explanatory. So they kind of compact the six periods of the day into half that time. And, you're eating lunch at 10 o'clock because you're leaving at 11. And the cooks were getting rid of a lot of the surplus. And so instead of having one fried chicken slider and fries, they had two sliders and fries and some goodies and extra cookies. And the little girls beside me said, "Mr. James, guess what?" I said, "What?" "We got two chicken sandwiches at lunch today." I know. It's our Christmas miracle. Kids, wouldn't trade it for anything. Would not trade it for anything in the world.
Santa Claus goes straight to the ghetto. Hitch up your reindeer, go straight to the ghetto.
Santa Claus. Go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Leave a door for Johnny. Leave a door for Mary. Leave something pretty for Donnie. And don't forget about Gary. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Tell him James Brown sent you. Go straight to the ghetto. You know that I know what you will see, 'cause that was once me. Hit it, hit it. You see mothers and so brothers. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, oh Lord, go straight to the ghetto. Fill every stocking you find. The kids are gonna love you so. Fill every stocking you find. They know that they need you so. I'm begging you, Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. If anyone wanna know, tell them Hank Ballard told you so. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Never thought I'd realize I'd be singing a song with water in my eyes. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Don't leave nothing for me. I've had my chance, you see. Santa Claus, go straight to the ghetto. Santa Claus, that's old brother needs so. Santa Claus.
And we're back. Welcome, a conservative's perspective. In 1955, NORAD had yet to exist. It was the Continental Air Defense Command. The mission was the same as it is today, to be able to respond to a nuclear strike if needed. Today, the threat comes from a lot of bad actors in the world. In 1955, it was the Soviet Union. Joseph Stalin died March 5, 1953, and chaos following the brutal tyrant's death continued to heighten tensions between the United States and the USSR. The commander of CONAD was Air Force Colonel Harry Shoup. Shoup had two phones on his desk, a black one and a red one. If the red phone rang, it was not an exercise. A four-star general, the only other person in the world who knew that number besides Shoup, would let him know that he was the third person in America to know the Soviets had launched an attack on the U.S. If the president was not reachable, he was the second. His job was to respond with a nuclear launch if needed. Shoup was married with young children who eventually understood why he couldn't be home on certain days or nights, as happened on Christmas Eve in 1955. When the red phone rang. It was widely believed at the time that the Soviets were going to launch in December. It would be on Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and Shoup was prepared to do his job. Shoup answered the phone praying it was an exercise. What he heard was someone asking if he was Santa Claus. He thought one of his own airmen had found the number and that none of them should have. He thought that one of his own airmen had found a number that none of them should have and was playing a prank. From the Coloradan, December 21, 2018, by Aaron Udell, this is how the story came out. Meet the Air Force Colonel behind one of Colorado's sweetest Christmas traditions. And this little voice says, "Are you Santa Claus?" And Dad, now, he's pissed. He thinks that one of his staff is playing a joke on him. This is one of his kids talking. He realized it was a child on the other end that he had unintendedly put into tears. And he didn't get into that position without taking the job seriously, and he expected the same from his airman. Had that kid not started crying, he never would have believed that it was not one of his airmen. Now, here's what happened. It was only when the child started to cry that Colonel Shoup realized it wasn't a prank call, so he switched gears. He broke out his best ho, 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 and asked if the kid had been good that year. Then he asked to talk to the boy's mother, who alerted him to a pretty big mistake. The local Sears ran a clever marketing ad to have children call and talk to Santa on his private number. When the number was placed, one digit was off. The newspaper accidentally ran Colonel Shoup's highly classified number for his red phone. So after checking the ad for himself to verify what had happened, he had his airman assist him in answering the red phone. Prior to that, if any airman working in there had to answer the phone, it was because the commander had been killed and there was no officer left to answer the phone. The red phone rang off the hook throughout the night with airmen and Shoup playing along. It was a pleasant break from a job that was deadly serious at all times. On the glass board that tracked airplanes in the United States and Canada, one of the airmen had put a picture of Santa's sleigh over the North Pole. His airmen worried they had taken things too far, an apology was made and offered to take it down. Well, the next thing you know, according to his kids, Dad had called the radio station and said, "This is the commander at the Combat Alert Center, and we have an unidentified flying object. It looks like a sleigh." Well, the radio stations would call him every hour or so, and they'd say, "Where's Santa now?" The following day, he contacted the phone company to get a new number. But that year, and every year after that, they kept the Santa tracker going to this day. NORAD might have replaced CONAD, but the tradition that started at the tail end of the CONAD era drew attention from around the world. In fact, what started because of a typo has flourished and is recognized as one of the Department of Defense's largest community outreach programs. Each year, NORAD tracks Santa's website, or the NORAD Track Santa website, receives several million unique visitors from more than 200 countries and territories around the world. Volunteers typically answer more than 130,000 calls to the NORAD Track Santa hotline from kids all over the world. Maybe that was a true Christmas miracle. The odds that Colonel Shoup's red phone number would be publicized and have kids call believing that it was Santa's private line are astronomical. But the tradition that began with a wrong number helped a lot of kids get through the height of the Cold War each Christmas.
I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those holiday J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh, those happy J-I-N-G-L-E B-D-double-L-S. I love those J-I-N-G-L-E bells. Oh.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Dashing through the snow in a one-horse open sleigh. O'er the fields we go, laughing all the way.
Making our spirits bright.
What fun it is sleighing song tonight.
Beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. A pair of hopalong boots and a pistol that shoots is the wish of Barney and Ben. Dolls that will talk and will go for a walk is the hope of Janice and Jen. And Mom and Dad can hardly wait for school to start again.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Everywhere you go,
there's a tree in the Grand Hotel, one in the park as well, the sturdy kind that doesn't mind the snow.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Soon the bells will start, and the thing that'll make them ring is the carol that you sing right within your heart. Beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Toys in every store. But the prettiest sight to see is the holly that will be on your own front door. Sure, it's Christmas.
But the fire is so delightful, and since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought me some corn for popping. The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. And the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. But as long as you'd love me so, let it snow, let it snow and snow. Finally kiss goodbye. good night. How I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you really grab me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbye. But as long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Welcome back. Conservative Perspective here on Blog Talk Radio through Patriot Nation Radio. Well, here's what we got going on. This I'm going to go ahead and play this now because I'm not exactly sure how much time. I was going to go for 2 hours. I don't think I'm going to do it. I'm going to play this, and we're going to give a little talk about that, and then we're going to go on. What I'm going to play for you, and I'll tell you the story, a little bit of it. Again, Truth or Consequences. Yeah, a TV show with Bob Barker in the 60s. However, it was a very, very popular radio show in the 1940s, 1950s, in the time leading up to that. And the episode that we have tonight, I play it every Christmas, and I'm just going to go ahead and play it, sit back, enjoy this. Again, like I said before, it will touch you. It touched me. It put a hook in me the very first time I heard it, and I knew after I got into doing this kind of thing, whenever I would do a holiday show or a Christmas show, I wanted to incorporate this somehow. So what it does is, again, Truth or Consequences from 1947. I think you're going to like this.
And come Thursday morning, the bells will be ringing in all the churches, the kids will be laughing in all the houses, and most everyone in his own way will be celebrating the reason for Christmas, the doctrine of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And we got to thinking what an ironic thing it is that many of those who helped give peace the real meaning of the word will be doing their celebrating from a bed or a wheelchair in a veterans hospital. And I wonder if each one of them can know and feel in their heart just how grateful we are. So, fellows in hospitals all over the country, this next consequence is for you. As a matter of fact, you might even be the contestant we have for it. Here we go to a veterans hospital, and will the fellow whose name I call please say hello back to me, although there may be no microphone in sight, you see. Hello? Hello? Hubert Smith.
Hello.
Hi, shipfitter third class Hubert Smith. This is Ralph Edwards of Truth or Consequences. Now, tell our Christmas party listeners what hospital you're in, Hubert.
Long Beach Naval Hospital.
Yes, sir. Well, all the gang around there?
You bet.
Where's your home, Hubert?
Greenville, Tennessee.
Yes, where is Greenville, Tennessee?
Well, that's 72 miles north of Knoxville.
Yes, sir. Who all is in your family, Hubert?
Well, there's just three of us, my mother, father, and myself.
I see. What do they call you, Hubert? Or?
Well, no, they call me. I go with my initials, H.C.
H.C., okay. But what's your father's occupation?
He's the manager of the Greenville bus station.
I see. What coach company is that?
Tennessee Coach Company.
I see. Well, before we go any further, we'd better give you a question, Hubert. Al, get me a question from the question bin, will you, please, or Floyd? And then if you miss it, you must pay the consequences, okay?
Well, okay.
All right. The gang around there, fellas, we better give them an easy question, you think, or a hard one? Let them have it, okay. Here, Harold DeSellis of Aurora, Illinois, wants us to tell him why a lazy husband is like a Model T Ford. Truth or Consequences, H.C. H.C. Smith. Hubert Smith.
About
that, H.C. Why is a lazy husband like a Model T Ford?
Well,
You got all sorts of time. You got 20 seconds, 18 have gone by, 19, 20. That's all. Because they're both shiftless. Oh, man. I guess we got him, didn't we, gang? Well, you haven't told the truth, so you must pay the consequences. Now, your consequence, H.C., Hubert, is to pretend it's the night before Christmas in Greenville, Tennessee, your hometown, just as it's been for all the years you can remember. And you're back there with the family and the gang doing everything you've always done. This is before you ever thought of the word paralyzed or hospital cot. Okay, hang on. We're really going back to Greenville. This is a preview of Christmas Eve in Greenville, Tennessee, H.C. I suppose the first thing we'd better look in on is the school party. Didn't the high school usually hold a Christmas party the day before Christmas?
Yes, they usually did sometime this just before Christmas or before we got out on vacation.
Oh, yeah. All right, then. Here we go, boy. Alakazoo, alakazam. School party at Greenville High. Here we am. There they are, H.C. Hey, gang. Hey, everybody. Hey, look, listen, everybody, look who's here. Here's Hubert Smith, old H.C., he's here for the annual Christmas party. Oh, how does that sound, Hubert?
Well, I haven't thought about those fellows in a long time.
Boy, they're glad to see you. Say howdy to them.
Hello, gang.
They're really there, boy. You'll have to sort of give your names, you fellas there and girls at school. Give your names one at a time, Hubert, so that... We'll recognize you, or at least H.C. will, just in case any of the guys have gotten fatter and the gals prettier. Go ahead.
Hello, H.C. Remember me?
Who is it?
Mary Elizabeth Walker.
Remember, H.C.?
I sure do.
Well, don't get so anxious, boy. All right, next.
Hello, Smitty. This is Parks. Remember the explosion Ms. Reimer's chemistry class?
What do you say, Parks?
Come on.
Hello, H.C. This is Kathleen Boswell. Remember me?
Oh, you bet, Kat.
The whole gang, boy.
Hi there, H.C. Remember me, Marietta Lamb.
Well, hello, Marietta.
Hi, H.C. This is J.W. Ramsey. How's Trix?
Oh, same as always.
Who's Trix, huh? Never mind.
Hello, H.C. It's Cy Ramsey.
What do you say, Cy?
Yeah. H.C., this is Maurice. Remember those big football games we used to have?
Oh, you bet.
Well.
Hello, H.C. This is Bill. Do you remember those firecrackers that we used to shoot in study hall?
Okay, boy. Well, they all seem about the same, don't they, H.C.?
They sure do.
Yeah, any of you get married since Hubert saw you last?
Oh, yes, H.C., I'm getting married in the near future. Guess who I am?
Well, that could be Kathleen Ambrose.
Oh, you're exactly right.
Well, you hit it right on the nose there. Well, who are you going to marry? Is that a question? Is that Kathleen? Who are you going to marry?
I'm marrying Jack Armitage.
You remember him, H.C.?
Well, no, I think Kat's probably been going with some of the fellows since I left. She always was a handful.
Some of the younger crop has crept in, you know. Well, look, kids, we're going to have to get running on. This magic spell only lasts to the end of Truth or Consequence tonight, and Hubert has a million things to do and a million people to talk to. So say goodbye, gang, here at the annual school party at Greenville High School.
Say, Smitty, this is your old principal, A.B. Gillen. You remember me?
You bet.
We just want you to know we are thinking of you all the time. The gang is always here and with a happy tear in their eyes for you. Hurry and get well. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Gillen.
You bet it's Merry Christmas, fella, and a town full of friends proving it. But say, we better get floating over to the next place. Let's see, the night before Christmas in Greenville, Tennessee. What would you be doing, H.C.? Oh, my goodness, is all your Christmas shopping done? Hubert?
No, I haven't thought anything about doing any this year.
Man, did you get a gift for your best girl?
Well, not yet.
What's her name?
Lila Morrell.
Lila Morrell. Do you love her?
You bet.
Any marriage hopefulness there?
Well, I'm going to think about it seriously as soon as I get out of this bed.
Yeah, boy. I knew there'd be some last-minute shopping to do. What do you want to get Lila? How about a nice handkerchief or something like that, huh?
Just for her? Why, she waits more than that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, we can get some. Maybe a handkerchief now, okay?
Well, I'll settle for that, I guess.
All right, well, come on. Before the stores close here, we're right in front of George R. Lane's store here on Main Street. Let's go in, shall we?
Right.
Okay, boy, come on. We're entering the front door, really, of George R. Lane's in your hometown of Greenville, Tennessee. Alakazam! Now, let's get that handkerchief and get on here. Let's see, we're in the store now. Here's a counter where we ought to be able to get a handkerchief. Hello, you recognize this fellow?
Well, Hubert Smith. I'm Miss Fantast. Remember me?
Oh, yes.
Remember my son, John? It's wonderful to see you, Hubert.
Well,
so you want some of these pretty ones? For a girlfriend, I bet.
Yeah, he wants one of the pretty ones.
Yeah.
What color do you like?
Thank you.
Well, we'll make it white silk one.
White silk.
You want something with lace or just plain?
Well, might as well make it lace.
What size does she wear?
Now, wait a minute. What size?
Isn't this the handkerchief counter?
Oh, my, no, this is the lingerie counter.
Oh, for goodness sake, give us a pretty handkerchief and let's get out of here, huh? H.C., say goodbye, boy.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Hubert.
Yes, sir, let's get out on Main Street here. We'll hang on to Lila's present, handkerchief, in case you see her. Here we are. Wonder who's around here on Main Street. Right on Main Street. Who's out on Main Street?
Hello, Hubert. This is Fuzzy Meyer from the drugstore. It's good to see you.
Do you remember Fuzzy Morrow, Herbert?
Oh, you bet.
Oh,
great to see you, Fuzzy.
You bet. Wait a minute, listen. Hear the church bells? You recognize that sound, Hubert? Those are really the church bells in Greenville, Tennessee. All this is in Greenville. This radio magic is real. Now, come on, let's get up to your church, huh? The Asbury Methodist Church. Here we are in the vestibule of the Asbury Methodist Church in Greenville. H.C., you still with me, huh?
Yeah.
We're right here in the vestibule. Let's peek through the door and see who all is here tonight. You recognize any of these people, H.C.? There's Mr. and Mrs. Perry Lamb. You remember?
Oh, I remember all these, several of these people.
Yeah. That a boy, you're playing it right along. And Bobby Phillips, remember him?
Oh, sure, but I haven't seen him in a long time.
You went in the Navy with him, didn't you?
That's true.
Yeah. Well, let's go on in because Reverend Fleenor will speak right after the organ stops. Come on in. Here we go.
Hey, H.C., remember me? I'm Catherine Frazier.
Catherine Frazier.
Oh, hello, Catherine.
You kids shouldn't talk in church like this.
Hey, H.C., Harry Thornton, remember, pal?
You bet.
Yeah. And look over there.
Hello, H.C., this is your grandmother.
Hello, grandmother.
Oh.
Here's Granddad.
Hello, H.C.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi. Just fine.
Hello, H.C. How are you?
Who's that?
Oh, that's Linda.
Yeah, boy.
My name is Linda Louise Clark. You remember me?
Sure.
Sure he does. I'm sure the Reverend won't mind her talking like this. Oh, quiet, you folks. Reverend M. Guy Fleenor is going to speak.
I have always thought about and preached about the joy of giving and how truly more blessed it is to give than to receive. But tonight I find genuine reason for joy in receiving back into our midst one of our dearest friends, Hubert Smith. And whether it is by radio's miracle or in our dreams, H.C. has never left our hearts. And in hundreds of churches all over the country, I'm sure all of us preachers, priests, rabbis, and spokesmen of all faith look down at the seats where you boys used to sit and know in the deep of our hearts that the prayers which went with you into war will bring you back to us again to share the peace that you have made possible. H.C., it's good to have you with us.
What Reverend Fleenor said, Hubert?
Sure did, Mr. Edwards.
He meant you, and he meant all the fellows listening in hospitals all over the country. But alakazoo, alakazam, and look where we are now on this magic trip, spending a preview of Christmas Eve in your old hometown. Now, you may be in a ward in a veterans hospital at Long Beach, California, and I may be here on this stage in Hollywood at NBC, but everything else is in your hometown of Greenville, Tennessee. Everything is real, especially these old pals of yours. Look, they're over here on North Main Street, all lined up as if they were just waiting for you to join in the Christmas carols. Hi, gang.
Hey!
Yeah, we're out here on Main Street. Who are you caroling tonight?
We're in front of Dr. Ms. Haskell Fox's home.
Right in front of it. Well, ask the gang what they're going to sing, H.C., so you can join in.
Well, what are you going to sing tonight, gang?
H.C., this is Eugenia Bewley, one of your seventh grade teachers out at Doak. One song you used to like best is Silent Night. Are you ready to lead us in it?
Yeah, okay.
I'll try.
Yes, sir. Here we go, H.C. You started out, and your friends, 2,000 miles away, will join you in front of Dr. and Mrs. Fox's house there in Greenville. Here we go.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round and virgin mother and child.
Beautiful, H.C., wasn't it, carolers?
Oh,
yes.
Hello, H.C., this is Dr. Fox. Mrs. Fox joins me in saying, that was swell. Merry Christmas. Welcome home.
Oh, my goodness, I'm glad you reminded me, Dr. Fox. Home is right. I promised Hubert's mother and father I'd get him over to see them before the tree was trimmed. Now, here we go, right over to your house, H.C., alakazam, and here we are. Your folks are expecting us. Let me knock, though, just to warm them. Yeah. Anxious to talk to Mother and Dad?
Sure am.
Well, I'll bet they're as excited as you are. How long since you've been home?
It's been several months now, about 8 months, in fact.
Yeah, they're certainly taking their time. They seem to answer. Why, look, Hubert, there isn't even a light on. Where do you suppose they are?
Well, they might still be at the station.
No, they said they would see. Oh, what's the matter with me? Of course, they're not in Greenville, Tennessee tonight. Do you know where they are, H.C.?
Well, no, I haven't any idea, Mr. Edwards.
They're right there outside the door of your ward in Long Beach Naval Hospital. Come in, Mother and Dad.
Hello, H.C.
Hello, H.C.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Are they there, H.C.? I guess they are. I guess
yes,
they're
here. Here.
You bet. Well, goodness, there's Mother and Dad. H.C., we sort of pulled a switch on you there at the end. We really have been in Greenville with our microphones all night, meeting your old friends. But when it came to Mom and Dad, we threw away the magic stuff and brought on the real thing. Your dad's boss, Mr. Al Kramer, even provided a substitute for both your mother and dad at the Tennessee Coach Company so they could come along. Are you happy, fella?
I sure am, Mr.
Yes,
Edwards.
Sir. If you can't go to Christmas, Christmas will come to you. Mother, how does he look to you?
Oh, he never looked better to me.
You bet.
Mr. Edwards.
All right. Well, I guess you heard H.C. meeting all his friends and doing some late Christmas shopping. By the way, H.C., what did you do with that handkerchief you bought, huh, fella? Huh?
I still have it.
Well, why don't you give it to your fiancée, Lila Morrell, huh? Go ahead and give it to her. Because she's right there outside your door, too. Come in, Lila.
Hello, H.C. Merry Christmas.
Hello, Lila.
Is that a surprise, H.C.? Well, our hearts are with you, kids, who've been in love for a long time, and we know this Christmas will be a happy one for you. What do you do back in Greenville, Lila?
I'm a telephone operator for the Intermountain Telephone Company. But the number that I want best is H.C.
Well, you betcha. Mother and father and Lila, this reunion and your and Hubert's happiness, we mean for every veteran in veterans' hospitals all over the country tonight. This is your moment, too, fellas, because your parents and wives and children and sweethearts in their minds and hearts are thinking, that's me there with you. And that's what your hometown is thinking right now, too, boys. Small town, big city, that's what they're thinking. And don't think it's just at Christmas time, either. It's every day. It's just that with all this talk about peace on earth at Christmas time, we wanted you to know in this special way that the peace you fought to give us, we're going to fight to keep. H.C., Mother and Dad and Lila are here as our guests to spend the Christmas holidays with you. We have hotel reservations for them near the hospital there. And since we've pretended this is Christmas Eve, let us give you your present. You got a swell future, Hubert. The courage that has brought you this far is the same courage that will see you through the future. Here to help that future is a $500 savings bond. Good luck. God bless you. Merry Christmas, H.C.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards, and a very Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Good night. Good night, boy.
Good night, Mr. Edwards.
Our thanks to engineer DeWitt Schultes and Truth or Consequences producer Ed Bailey in Greenville, Tennessee's church and school, to engineer Jim Hackett and producer Dick Lochran at Main Street and Lane Store, Greenville, to engineer Joe Kay and producer Fred Carney at Long Beach Naval Hospital, and to our studio and mixing engineer Johnny Pollock and producers Al Pascal and Floyd Holm here in Hollywood, to our Truth or Consequences organist Buddy Cole and church organist Ida Ripley in Greenville, Tennessee, and to all of Hubert's many friends in Greenville, Tennessee, who were so eager to pay this tribute to their pal, shipfitter third class Hubert Smith, paralyzed from the neck down in Long Beach Naval Hospital. And all the veterans throughout the country, our grateful thanks to you. Listen to this. The Walking Man. Who is the Walking Man? Keep listening to Truth or Consequences for the Walking Man. It may mean a gigantic prize to the one who knows. Who is the Walking Man? Hear all about it next week on Truth or Consequences. The Walking Man. Well, look who's dashing through the suds with jingle bells, too. It's those happy Duzz Carolers and their merry washing machines.
Greetings.
D-U-Z, D-U-Z.
Put Duzz in your washing machine.
Work clothes come out oh so clean.
White things white and color things bright.
D-U-Z does everything.
From the roughest and the toughest to the whitest and the brightest.
No so bright like Duzz before.
Duzz is different, Duzz does more.
When you Duzz your wash, you gain.
D-U-Z does everything. D-U-Z, D-U-Z.
That was delightful, Duzz-lightful kids. Yes, sir. And folks, now listen, the truth is, today's prices for used kitchen fats are higher, much higher than last summer. Everybody saves every drop of used fat. It's worth your while. This is Ralph Edwards speaking on behalf of our sponsor, the makers of Duzz, and wishing you a very Merry Christmas. And until next week, when you hear more about The Walking Man, a brand new gigantic prize contest, good night, everybody. Why have...
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas. I'll be
Hey, thought I would give you guys a chance to blow your nose, clear your throats. What did I tell you about that? That was some awesome radio. And I'm going to talk about, in my humble opinion, based on the thousands, literally, thousands, maybe tens of thousands of hours that I have listened to old-time radio. And I've listened to a lot of it, believe you me. All that, of all the radio I've heard, what we just listened to with that Truth or Consequences episode is probably the best radio episode ever produced. It has all the, it has every single element there. And we're going to, and I want to, and let's, and here's the thing. They were where they said they were. Okay? Ralph Edwards is on a soundstage at the NBC studios there in Hollywood. Poor old H.C. Smith was there at Long Beach Naval Hospital. 2 years. The war ended in 1945. 1947, this was December 20th, 1947, when this show was aired. And it was live. And he had been in Long Beach Naval Hospital all that time. The people were where they were. Just like he said when he was at the end of the credits, they had producers and engineers right there in Greenville, Tennessee, at the church, at the school, on Main Street. The sounds that we heard weren't sound effects men. They were actual people. And this was done, okay, this wasn't done through satellite link-ups. This was done through shortwave radio. This was done with stopwatches. This was done with intricate timing. So it was pushing the technology existing as it was at that time to the very edges of the envelope. Because everything had to be spot on. It had to be split-second timing. It had to be perfect. It had to be perfect the first time. You didn't get another shot at it. And it was. It showed the technological prowess of radio. And again, it has all the elements, all right? And I know that if you got to listen to this and you really listened, you got a little emotional. I'm sure you did. I did. I get a little lump in my throat every time I hear, every single time I hear this. It has all the elements. It's a very, very American story. Obviously, from the backdrop, you got a Pacific sailor who's been injured, badly injured in the war, and he's back home. Sacrifice, honor, duty. Guts. You have camaraderie. You have love. You have fellowship. You have a homecoming. It's all there. And the thing of it is that it is real life. Okay? Reality TV? Look, everything old is new again. All right, what you heard, in a way, aside from a news broadcast or a sporting event, was reality radio, because it was really happening. Those were real people. It was really his life. It was really his mom and dad. It was really what happened to him. It was really where he was from. All of it. Now, this episode, the very first time I heard it, and I cut out, you know, there's a little bit of game show element to like the first 8 to 9 minutes of it. So I just cut that out and I started with this segment with H.C. Smith. And this episode, this radio program, put the hook in me to the point to where I had to find out about this guy. So I went on the internet and I looked it up. H.C. Smith, Greenville, Tennessee. He's a real person. Eventually, what happened with H.C. after he got out of Long Beach Naval Hospital was he went home and he married his girl. At some point in his rehabilitation, he regained the use of his arms. So he was no longer paralyzed from the neck down, but from the chest, the waist down. So he was a paraplegic, not a quadriplegic. He came back home. He married his girl. He enrolled at Tusculum College, got a degree in agriculture, got out of school, and managed a working farm for 25 years after that. Retired, and I think he died in like 1983. His wife, Lila, died first, and then he died a couple of years soon after her, 1983, 1985, something like that. Redemption, a payoff, a happy ending. Hands down, and like I said, in my opinion, that's the most power. That's radio at its best. That it's radio at its most powerful. That's radio at its most idealistic. Was it entertaining? Yeah. Did they know that this was the kind of story that would be entertaining? Was it done for ratings? To a certain extent. But the motivation is different as well, I think, because you have to look at the context of the time. We can't look at 1947 through the prism of a 2021 lens. 75 years ago, it was different. It was much different. In many ways, in terms of the country and its citizens, a lot better. Were there problems? Yeah. But there was a lot more unification. There was a lot more unity than there was division.
Melikalikimaka is a thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikilikimaka is the wise way to say Merry Christmas to you.
Melikilikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway. Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas to you. Green and bright, the sun to shine by day and all the stars at night.
Melikalikimaka is a wise way
to say Merry Christmas to you. Melikalikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day. That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
Here we know that Christmas will be green and bright.
The sun to shine by day and all the stars at night. Melikalikimaka is a wise way to say Merry Christmas.
A very Merry Christmas.
A very, very, Merry, Merry Christmas to you.
Wow. Well, I think that's about all the time we're going to take tonight. I've got a few things. You know, I've still got, you know, Christmas right around the corner, and I've still got a few I's to dot and T's to cross, and I'm sure you probably have too. Thank you so much for the opportunity to hang out for a little while, talk a little Christmas, listen to some music, and just kind of forget about the whole political scene for a little while. And I'm glad we were able to do that this evening. Again, Tuesdays and Thursdays, live, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Blog Talk Radio on Patriot Nation Radio, blogtalkradio.com. And Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Mojo 5.0 Radio, mojo50.com. If you're not listening, you ought to be. Tomorrow is Christmas Eve. Enjoy that time with your family and your loved ones. Enjoy the holiday season. Keep safe. Be happy. Be merry. We'll probably talk to you on Tuesday, taking a look at things as we do. In the meantime, God bless America. God bless you. We'll see you. Merry Christmas.